Skinny fries.
What's up, dude?
What's up, dude? How are you?
I am good. I like that hat, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes.
How are things?
Things are incredible.
Good.
Just amazing.
How was Majordomo?
It was unbelievable. Yeah, I think it's the best dinner I've had without my wife, which is because I've had most of my amazing dinners with her.
Good save.
You know, every David Chang restaurant is incredible. And this one is no different. We had just an assortment, a litany of really great dishes, and even like a chef's special dish that he made for us. And every one of them is fantastic.
Nice. Yeah, I've had the opportunity to go to a Majordomo in Vegas. Not quite the same as the one in LA, but and Momofuku. And I'm with you. His restaurants, his food is incredible. So the reason I asked about that, not only because I wanted to know how it was, but, you know, you and I have been doing this keto thing again. We talked about it early on in the season, a little bit. We talked about diets and, you know, around 17 of keto, as you're drinking bourbon,
Diet Coke.
Love it. Okay. And I've been thinking a lot lately. Okay, so one of the staple items for us in keto is steak.
Yeah.
We have very different tastes when it comes to our steak preferences.
We do.
And the way they're cooked, i.e. yours aren't, and mine typically are. But what I wanted to know from you, because you cook a lot more steaks than I do, yeah. John, is what is the skinny on the best way to cook a steak at home?
Well, the first part is there is no way to have a skinny steak because fat content is always high in a steak.
You got sirloin in like I do. Eat
shitty sirloins. I was going to make the sirloin insult, but you already went there. Yeah. Your favorite.
That is
your favorite.
It is my
actually
favorite.
I don't dislike a sirloin. I think that they're good, but they're different. So I'm going to give you a couple different votes on this question, and I'm going to base it on the type of steak. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So I'll start with your precious sirloin. I think that's a good starting point.
Sorry to interrupt you. Real quick, for our listeners, just because I don't want to have the wrong impression here.
Okay.
Sirloin is not the best steak.
No.
It is my favorite for a couple of reasons. It has high protein and low fat.
Correct.
And when I'm trying to hit my macros in keto,
lower fat.
I want higher protein and lower fat. That is it. That is all. And fillets don't taste good. Sirloin is my next best option.
Okay, so we're gonna talk about that first. So on the scale of steak, because I think a lot of people that don't eat steak regularly have this, like, what is the difference, right? So if you move kind of at the left side, which is filet, and on the far right side being ribeye, and everything else being somewhere in between those two of very low fat content and very high fat content, right?
Okay.
A filet is a very tender but very low fat steak.
Yep.
Which means it also doesn't have a lot of flavor. That's the downside of a filet. If you're not going to season it incredibly well, serve it with a great, you know,
wrap it in bacon.
Mushroom sauce on it, wrap it in bacon. Like, it isn't my favorite. It doesn't mean it's bad. It's just like saying, would you eat chicken? Is chicken good? Is a pork chop good? Sure. They're not particularly good on their own. They're good in the way that they're served, right? So I feel the same way about a filet. I'm not anti-filet. I just don't prefer that.
Yep.
So sirloin, moving a little bit up, that's a very meaty steak, probably the meatiest tasting steak.
Mm-hmm.
It also has a really low fat content. So to your point, just where it is in the cow, right? It has to move around a lot. So it doesn't have a lot of fat on it. And it gives a really, really robust meaty flavor, but it's also really, really not tender. On that scale, that would be filet on one side and sirloin on the other side.
Yep.
So then we're going to leave off a few because flank steaks and plenty of other really great ones, but the most common here, New York strip.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really nice piece of fat cap on one side and a relatively balanced steak from a marbling, you know, meaty and flavorful, but not as fatty as a ribeye,
mm-hmm.
to my personal favorite, a great ribeye, right?
Mm-hmm.
Super high fat content, incredibly, incredibly, incredibly delicious when cooked the right way. And also, not for everybody. If you don't like fat, you're going to hate this steak, right? And I know you don't like visceral fat. You don't like chewiness in your steak.
I do not.
So I'm going to cover those four steaks because I think that the answer to them is all very, very different. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. So first off, you need to decide what temperature you're going to need a steak. And there are three options I'm going to give you on this.
Plus the John option, right?
No. There's three options.
Okay.
between 120 degrees and 130 degrees is a rare steak, mm-hmm. right? That is a great way to cook a filet. I think it is the only way that you should probably cook a filet. Maybe on the edge of rare plus for a filet. Then you've got medium rare, which is going to be absolutely great for basically the other three steaks. Mm-hmm. And then... I'm struggling here. Medium rare plus, I'm going to give you. I'm not going to go all the way to medium. I think that you can go there with a ribeye, and I'll get to why. If you're going to go medium well or well, I just don't see why you're doing it.
Right.
I mean, I agree with that you have a particular opinion. People are out of their own opinions. Do whatever you want. But like, I just don't understand why you're eating steak at that point. I think at that point, get a flank steak, get something, you know, a skirt steak, and make it fajitas. Like, I just don't know why you're eating it by itself. It's dry. It's chewy in the wrong ways. I don't get it at all.
Yeah, those now, are out.
What causes it is people that associate that red coloring with blood.
Right, which is
not. Which it's not, right? It's myoglobin. It's a different thing. There is no blood in a steak. Your cow already went through rigor mortis. It already got all the blood out of it. There's no blood left in that steak. And so it's an interesting one that people associate it that way, but I understand it's a mental thing. And it's hard to get over. And truthfully, for my family and friends at varying degrees, it's just however they were raised. Let's be real. They were raised by someone that told them you have to eat your steak until it was brown. It's going to be brown. And my Uncle Mike loved him to death. We were staying at his house when we were building our house. And he came in one day and he's like, okay, I know you're, you know, eat steaks differently than me. So I will... put mine on and you just bring yours out when you're ready. And I said, okay, sure. So he goes outside. I hadn't seen him for a while. And so I peek my head out and I'm like, hey, let me know when you have 12 minutes left so I can throw my steak on. And he's like, 12 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, 12 minutes. That's rare to medium rare, right? 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes. That's going to be perfect for the thickness of the steak. And I'm like, have you started yours yet? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, how long do your steaks take? 45 minutes. I'm like, what the hell do you do for 45 minutes? Low and slow, as the Midwesterners would call that. So temperature-wise, yeah. I think between those three choices, those are the right ways, right? And the reason I said ribeye, and that probably surprised you that that's the one I'm willing to take up to the highest temperature, it's because I think on a ribeye, you have to render that fat.
Right.
If you don't render that fat, it's very unappetizing. And while I can live with a rare ribeye, like only if you're going to Peter Luger style it and sear the living crap out of the outside to render it. Because if you're just going to do a sous vide ribeye rare, it's not good. I actually don't think that that's a great steak. And I don't think that's how you should serve it.
Yeah.
So, okay. Temperature makes sense.
Yep.
Great. So now cooking application. I'm going to give you a couple different ones.
Okay.
I mentioned sous vide. Mm-hmm. I think sous vide's a great way to cook a steak. It's really hard to screw up, right? You take the steak. Sous vide is a water bath, so you're in plastic typically, and you're cooking, you know, water around it for a certain amount of time. The nice thing about sous vide is two things. One, you can do it for a really long time, right? So you can throw something that's, you know, a frozen steak into a sous vide bath and leave it there for 4 to 5 hours without any real risk to overcooking the steak, mm-hmm. which is interesting, right? There's a downside though, which is if you leave it too long, it makes the meat kind of fall apart in a bad way.
Yeah.
Like almost like pot roasty, but that's not what you want from a great steak. And if you're going to sous vide it, you need to still have a thick, like great crust on the steak. And unless you have a blowtorch, where are you going to get that crust from? A lot of people will try to throw it in a broiler or they'll try to throw it on a grill, but I don't know about you. I have a Traeger grill. It's not hot enough to do that with. So if I try to do that, I'm going to actually overcook the steak. And so I like sous vide-ing, but actually don't do it very often. That's not my main mechanism to cooking a steak. Better for me than a sous vide is a reverse sear.
Okay.
Now there's two different kinds, right? There's a sear where you sear the steak first and put it in the oven. Reverse sear, put it in the oven first at 225 and then sear it. They're kind of six and one half dozen. It's just a matter of your preference on that. I think the key has nothing to do with that technique because either are okay. It has more to do with using a great tool to help you. So I use a meter. Do you know what that is? Do you have one of those?
Okay, thermometer.
Yeah, so meter is like one that you leave in the steak.
Yeah, yeah.
And it alerts you kind of on your phone like, hey, you're about at 109 right now. Take the steak out, let it rest for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I like that because I really want to get the temperature accurate. It's really important to me to have an accurate temperature. And if you're one of those people that does the, like, check your note, like, Yeah, you might get it right sometimes. If you cook steaks a lot, you'll be okay. But I don't think that's a great way for a home chef to cook. Mm-hmm. I think you should use a tool to help you do this right. So my one argument is I think a grilled steak is the worst of the options.
Okay.
And here's why. It's not that grills are bad, but you know the like hash mark kind of
cross
hatch grill thing?
Texas steak.
Yeah. If you've got a great grill that can get up to, you know, 1,000 degrees, 1,100 degrees, that's going to be awesome because you're going to throw that bad boy on there for 3 minutes on each side. You're going to finish it for like a minute and a half on each side, pull it off for 10 minutes, let it rest, and it's going to be fantastic. But for most grills that people have at home, their Weber, their Traeger, whatever, it's just not really getting hot enough to put a really deep crust on the steak.
Right.
So my preferred method, if I could choose what to do with the steak, is I'm going to take a really nice, really thick cut of meat. I want it to be very thick because I want to protect that inside.
You're talking about more than an inch thick?
I'm talking about 2 inches if you could do it, inch and a half if you can't.
Okay.
I don't want a thin steak. I'm going to season it with kosher salt, sea salt, whichever one's your preference. I'm going to put it in the fridge, uncovered, overnight.
Okay.
Next day, take the steak out. I'm going to dry it. You want that steak to be really, really, really dry because you can't get a good sear if the steak's not dry. A wet steak is going to make a mushy kind of outside, and I want a really great crust on my steak. So I'm going to dry that off. I'm going to take a pan. I'm going to get it rip-roaring hot. I mean, like smoke alarm level, you can see the heat coming off of it. Touch of a really neutral oil, throw the steak in, push down hard, let it sit there, solid 3 minutes. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. Flip it the other way. Now, a lot of the fat should render out at this point, right? Mm-hmm. Go 3 minutes on the other side. You should have your oven on at this point. Take it off, throw it in your oven. You're probably going to leave it there about 8 minutes. Probably no more. But again, use a thermometer. Make sure you get it right.
What temperature do you typically cook at?
I'm the oven part of it? Only needs to be about 325.
Okay.
Because the steak's doing most of the work in the pan. The pan's where the crust is going to come from. So then I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to throw it in the oven. I'm going to throw butter, rosemary, thyme, and garlic all in that pan. And I'm going to let the oven do the finishing on that steak. Now, if you want to go the other way, you do that in the oven first. You finish it in the pan and you do a butter base. They're both really great. You're not going to be sad either way. Both of these are going to be awesome. I like to pepper the steak in the oven side. I don't like to do that before cooking because I like that freshness of a really great black pepper. And I have a great finishing salt that's like pepper with like Florida salt in it. You know, it's like a combo. Mm-hmm. Really, really great. You want a great finishing salt on top of the steak. And then what I'm going to do is take that steak out and it's got to rest for a minimum of 10 minutes. If you can go 15 or 20, even better. And I know there's a thing of like, I want it to be hot. No, you don't. You don't get a hot steak at a restaurant. Like they don't serve it to you hot. It would burn your mouth. You want the steak to come back down to temperature and allows all of those juices to settle back into the muscle of the steak. That way they don't run out when you slice it. But then the last thing that's more important to me is how do you serve that steak? So I'm going to go to your sirloin. Mm-hmm. I love a sirloin, but only if you're going to slice it on the bias. So a sirloin, the muscle fibers don't run this way. They don't run, you know, longitudinally, right? They run up and down. So the problem with a sirloin is if you just cut it straight up and down and you take bites, it's really, really chewy. You've had those before, right?
Right.
But if you just turn your knife 45 degrees and slice that exact same sirloin, what happens is all those muscle fibers get really, really tiny. So now the bites are really tender. You can take a sirloin steak and have it be just as tender as a filet. Now, a filet is a gift. Muscle fibers are running this way. Right. So every slice does that for you, right?
Yeah.
But it's important when you serve a steak is to look how the muscle grains are running and cut against those grains. And what I like to do is slice it 45 degrees, lay those out, redo that seasoning, just that seasoning salt on top, and then take that butter base, make a little pan sauce, serve that on top of the steak. A good sauce with a steak is really hard to mess up. Fresh Brussels sprouts, fresh broccoli. I like a bright, like lemony side with it because I like to cut through that steak. And then, of course, great red wine. That's the skinny on steak.